Let us open the Holy Scriptures to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of God, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Beloved congregation, our text is, as I already indicated, verse 4 of this psalm, the first part. These words, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Beloved congregation, Psalm 46 is known as a psalm of trust in God. It's often been a source of encouragement to believers throughout the ages. From history, we know that Psalm 46 was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. When Luther was at times downcast, discouraged, through dark and dangerous periods of the Reformation, at such times he would say to his close friend, Philip Melanchthon, come Philip, he would say, let us sing once again Psalm 46. And they would. Psalm 46 contains a very picturesque language. It suggests to our minds very beautiful scenes that our minds easily can imagine. In verse 1, for example, the psalmist pictures God as a stronghold where a person or his people can find help and a refuge during times of trouble. Then in the verses 2 and 3, he pictures an upheaval of large proportion. Oceans raging in a storm. Even mountains being swept away. And then if you would move to verse 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10, there you see the picture of nations being in uproar and fighting with bows and spears and chariots. But then God utters his voice and everything becomes still and silent. Again, I say it's a psalm that contains very picturesque language. Also, our text, verse 4, gives us a very vivid picture and a beautiful picture. It says there is a river. The streams whereof may glad or shall may glad the city of God. And we can picture that to an extent, can we not? A city. A beautiful city. Along a softly flowing river. Which make glad the people living there. A picture not of violence or war. As you see in verses 2 and 3. Or a picture of a storm in verses 6 through 9, for example, or other violence with war included. No, in our text you have a very rustic picture. A picture of tranquility, if you like, of happiness. Come with me tonight and look with me more closely at this picture and see with me what it has to say to us in the midst of our lives. And we'll do so by way of the theme, the river that makes glad. The river that makes glad because of whence it comes, because of what it brings, because of how it flows, and because of where it reaches. So the river that makes glad because of whence it comes, because of what it brings, because of how it flows, and because of where it reaches. First of all then, because of whence it comes. Our text mentions a city and a river. You will know that most major cities in the world are located right by a river or other water. You think of the city London in Great Britain, located right at the Thames River. In France, Paris, located at the Seine. In Canada, Montreal is located at the St. Lawrence River. Think of the city New York, located not by a river as such, but in northeastern United States, right on the Atlantic coast. Take Grand Rapids, our own city, built along a river. Children, maybe mommy and daddy have taken you to the river here in downtown Grand Rapids, or just outside of Grand Rapids. And you walked right by the river, or you biked together with your parents right by the river, or you walked under the bridges of the city. Maybe sometimes you have seen fishermen standing in the Grand Rapids River. And maybe you have even seen fish jumping up in the river. Well, our text speaks about a city and a river running or flowing through that city. Now the question is, what city is our text referring to? And what river is our text referring to? Is it Grand Rapids? Or is it Montreal? Or would it be a biblical city? Would it be Jerusalem? Or would it be Jericho, if you wish, or another city in the Promised Land? In a way, you and I might think it must be Jerusalem. But you know, there is no river running through the city of Jerusalem. There is a little water in Jerusalem, indeed, but not a river. If you take Egypt, then you find the capital city right there by the Nile River. If you take the Babylonian cities, then you see, for example, a city by the Euphrates River, that kind of a thing. But Jerusalem has no river. And that was the city of God in the Old Testament, wasn't it? Jerusalem does have and did have a little spring where water bubbled up and still does from the ground. But that water, that spring, produced only, you might say, a little water, not enough to supply the whole city of Jerusalem. The water that flowed from the spring flowed into what was known the Pool of Siloam. We recently made a reference to that when we read and preached on John chapter 5. But by no means is that a river. Jerusalem has no river. Jerusalem, throughout the centuries, had a lot of cisterns in which people would collect water through pipes and aqueducts, for example, Or they would in earlier days simply carry water from outside the city into the city of Jerusalem. So what city then is Psalm 46 talking about? And what river is our text talking about? In order to answer that question, you need to look at verse 5. And what do you read in verse 5? There it says, God is in the midst of her. So our psalm here is speaking of the city of God, the place where God dwells among his people. And the Bible often talks about the city of God, and it pictures God's people as a city where God is among or in the midst of his people, where he shields them, as it were, in, and where he defends them. If you go to the very end of the Bible, Revelation 21, the picture of the New Jerusalem, then God's church is pictured there, indeed, as a city with 12 foundations, remember, and 12 gates, a beautiful city, with God dwelling in the very midst of his people. And indeed, the city of our text is the church of God. The church of God. And this city, which is the church of God, has a river. That means that the church has a supply running through it. And we will come to see what all that river brings into the city. We'll look at that under the second point. But let's first consider where this river comes from. Remember I said verse 5 says God is in the midst of her. That means God is in the midst of this city like a river supplying all the needs of that city. Just like in verse 1, God is compared to a stronghold, to a refuge. So in verse 4, God is compared to this river. Now that is certainly confirmed in other parts of the Bible. If you take, for example, the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 2, verse 13, he speaks of the Lord, and there the Lord is speaking through the lips of Jeremiah, and there the Lord is speaking about himself as a fountain of living water. Remember? And then he says, my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And what have they done? He says, they have hewn out cisterns that can hold no water. You see, God is the source of water for his people, but so often his own people, his own covenant people, turn away from God. If you go back through the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, for example, where the people of Israel were led through the wilderness, then you know that Christ was the rock in the wilderness that followed his people. That's how Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And Nehemiah also speaks about this very thing. Christ was the rock in the wilderness. And out of that rock, there flowed water. And the thirst of his people was quenched as he gave them to drink in a very dry place. Or think of Ezekiel chapter 47, where you have a glorious picture of water issuing out from under the throne of God and bubbling out and then forming that river that grows larger and larger as it brings healing with it. And thus, the source of that river is the Lord himself. And did not Christ say that when he was here on this earth? You can think of it in terms of John chapter 4 when Jesus speaks about to the Samaritan woman about these very things. Or you can take John chapter 7 and there in verse 37 the Lord Jesus Christ says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And when it says here in Psalm 46 in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. That with us. There you have literally in the Hebrew the name Emmanuel. And you could say that he is the source of that river. The river of spiritual peace can flow because of Jesus Christ. In Him, God is pleased to concern Himself with His church, His people of all times and of all places. And this river springs up in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His life of perfect obedience to all the divine law, in His death on the cross, where He purchased peace for His own people, and where He suffered death in order that His people might have life, and that He might be to them the river of life. Now, you know, many rivers dry up in this world. Other rivers are contaminated. But this river has its source in God, the everlasting God. For the sake of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, He is faithful. He is constant. He is pure. And it's because He is the source of this river. It is a river that makes glad the city of God. So that, first of all, the source. But then secondly, this river makes glad because of what it brings. Now I wonder, children, if you could think of that. What is it that a river by a city would bring to that city? Well, you can think, first of all, of the water of the river. People would build their homes and their cities by water, that they would have drinking water so that they could survive. Without water, we cannot live. Water quenches our thirst. Water refreshes us. When we drink that water, we feel refreshed, especially if we have gone without water for a long time. So that first of all. But then secondly, water also cleanses. We use it to wash ourselves, don't we? If we could not wash ourselves, how dirty we would be. We would get dirty very quickly and stay dirty. So water cleanses, and rivers also cleanse. So that's secondly. You could think thirdly of rivers having life in them, namely fish, a wonderful source of healthy food. And fourthly, you could think of rivers on which things could be transported. You can travel on a river by a boat, and if it's a large river, by ship. It gives mobility. Especially in ancient times, rivers were the roads to transport things. And it allowed you to bring in things to your city. And fifthly, rivers would be used to irrigate the land that otherwise would be so dry and infertile. Especially in the land in the days of the Bible. The Jews found all kinds of ways to take water and to turn deserts into fertile fields. Congregation, do you remember where in the Bible we read for the first time about a river? That is in Genesis chapter 2, isn't it? The river of paradise. A river watering the Garden of Eden, flowing out into four parts. Let me read a verse there. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So the Garden of Eden, paradise, had four streams. And those four streams, you could say, as it were, really put their water arms around that Garden of Eden. But then man sinned, and when man had sinned, man was sent out of the garden into a world where the ground was cursed for man's sin's sake. How true. You could say that the word in our text, river, the word streams in our text, are a reminder of paradise, the Garden of Eden. And so now, What shall we answer to the question, what is it that this river brings? Well, by our sin we have lost all that God is to us in terms of his love and his fellowship with us. By our sin we have lost spiritual life and peace. Instead of basking in the fellowship with God, we are cursed on a land full of thorns and thistles, laboring in the sweat of our brow, under the beating sun, and the land around us is parched. And within our own hearts and lives by nature, everything is dry and desolate. And yet our text speaks, there is a river. There is a river. In the midst of it, there is a river from out of God, the Eternal One. A river has begun to flow. And what does it bring to our thirsty souls? It brings water to our parched lives. It brings refreshment to our miserable existence. It brings hope and renewal. And it brings blessing in the midst of curse, the curse. And it brings life in the midst of death. And it brings hope in the midst of despair. The Bible even speaks of peace like a river coming from God. Think of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 66, verse 12, where the prophet says, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream." So that is what the river brings. Now, Stephen and Kim, think now of baptism, of all your children and of yourself, but tonight especially of Samuel, Joseph. Think of the water of baptism, and then think to yourself, the water of baptism speaks of these things. Because the water of baptism points to the washing away of our sins, does it not? And the daily renewing of our lives. Here, in this little baptismal font, you could say, the water that came down by, as it were, a few sprinkles on the forehead of Samuel. What was it a picture of? A picture of the river of God. There is a river. The streams whereof may glad the city of God. This river and that water speaks of what? The miracle of regeneration that your children need and that the Lord promises in holy baptism. He signs and seals that promise in holy baptism. And he says today to you, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And if you have peace in your life today, then it is, if it's the true peace, then it is because of this river which began in God and has come to you by way of the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which you could say that river he has opened in his Son, Jesus Christ. Because you know, you as father and mother have no power in yourselves. And our children have no power in themselves. And our own water supply is soon gone. But the psalmist sings and he says, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. What does that mean? That means that salvation itself comes to the church, not from mommy and daddy, but from God. And it comes like a river in full flow, full supply. A river is not a narrow trickle. No, it speaks of a broad flowing stream. There is plenty. There is a river. That's exactly how the grace of God in Christ is, and the gift of the Holy Ghost from the Father That's how it has come from the Father to the Son, and in the Son, through the Spirit, to the Church. And that brings me to my third point this evening, that it makes us glad because of how it flows. Because our text does not only speak about a river, but also about those streams, as you will have heard me say now a couple of times. You could say also channels. There is a river whose streams, whose channels may glad or shall make glad the city of God. So you could say that those streams, they flow from the mother river. And that is stated already, as I said, in the river there by the Garden of Eden. With those four streams, four heads. And notice that the psalmist says especially that it is the streams whereof may glad or shall make glad the city of God. The river makes glad because it has streams. Think of that. It has channels that bring that glorious water to you, close to you. You see, if our text would only say there is a river, but not the streams, then you would have the picture that you and I would have to go to the river. And everyone would have to travel to the river. But you could say with those streams, in a certain sense, through those streams, this water comes close to you or closer to you. And isn't that the picture? How does God's grace come close to you and to me? Think about some of the channels, some of the ways in which God's grace comes close to us or streams to us. And in view of the baptism service tonight, let's first think of the channel of baptism. Because baptism is, biblically speaking, a means of grace, is it not? It is a way, a channel, in which God signifies and seals to us the promise of salvation in a visible, a tangible way. True, baptism does not save young people and children and congregation. But in baptism, God comes close to us, and he has come very close to you and to me with that river. He, as it were, brushed up to you, very close against you. How then? Well, that water, as a sign of that river, was applied to your forehead, loud and clear. And God said, you too can be saved. He said more than that. He said, you too must be saved. My promise is to you, and my claim is also on your life. I will, if thou plead, fill your every need, all your wants, relieving. Once, when Adam was in the garden, I could say, of Eden, in paradise, we were in Adam, in the garden. And there we lived in Adam, right by the river of paradise. Now we have come into the world as sinners, and we live here from our young years on, you could say, in a parched and a dry desert land. But then God comes to us in the sacrament of holy baptism, and in the channel of baptism, the Lord says, I want to remind you of my promise here. I picture it to you in the sprinkles on your forehead as a sign of my river and as my claim upon you. You need me, the source of living water. And that's what he says tonight to Samuel. And that's what you have to teach Samuel as he grows up. That the Lord says, Samuel, I promise it also to you. And Samuel, believe on me. Repent, Samuel, of your sin. You need me, Samuel. You need the river, Samuel. Drink from the river. Wash in the river. Samuel, there is a river. The streams whereof may glad the city of God. So that first of all, baptism as a stream. But then think further of the word of God as a channel, as a stream. Because you could say the word of God on every page in the Bible speaks about this river. You don't have to read very far into the word of God. And you'll notice that there God opens to you the river, the water of life, unto your thirsty soul. In his word, you don't need to travel to universities of this world. You don't need to travel literally to the land of Palestine, to Canaan. But through the word of God, there is a stream. And tomorrow morning, you do your devotions as a family. And you open the word. And then the stream flows into your family room. Right to the ears of you all. And if the children read along in their own Bibles, then they can see it written with their own eyes. And then you can say tomorrow, remember last night's sermon? There is a river. The streams were off. The word of God as a stream. You can also say that the preaching of the word of God is a channel, is a stream. In the preaching, God comes to you, to your ear. And he says, give me your heart. That's how close he comes. He seeks to come close to your heart. That's the preaching. Sunday morning, Sunday night. And you could say when in 2 weeks from today, the Lord willing, the table of the Lord will be spread here. That's also a channel of this river in which God seeks to refresh your thirsty soul unto life eternal. And when the elders come to your home for a family visit, that's the focus, that ought to be the focus of the visit, to open the word, that there the river may flow again in your home. What a marvelous thought. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. If you think of that congregation, do you recognize how close the streams have come to you? And a moment ago I said that in this psalm, in verse 5, you read the name of Christ as the Emmanuel. Through him, God with us, through his word and spirit, he comes so close. And in Christ, God is with us. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. So how it flows. And then finally, because of where it reaches. And goes even further yet than what we have seen up to this point, congregation. This river makes glad not only because it comes from God. This river makes glad not only because it brings with it the grace that we lost in paradise and that we do need in our life. And neither does it make glad because it comes close to us through those channels of God's ordinances. But it makes glad in the last place because it comes into the troubles of our lives. It comes to us as this psalm pictures further on when the mountains are tossed about in our lives. When the waters roar in our lives. When wars come. when the sword is clattering and the spears are flying, and anxiety is rising, and the billows are smashing all around you in your life, and the calamities and the tensions and the pressure are becoming too much for you, there is a river. When the enemies come to taunt you in your spiritual life, and they come, the devil comes to bring you down. He assaults you with temptations. And if it doesn't work from this angle, he'll try it from this angle. And else he'll get behind you. It's a wonderful temptation, not so wonderful. That's how he comes. And when in this day, the non-Christian world here in America is having, it seems, the upper hand, and is, it seems, turning our country upside down and inside out, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And when your sin rises up against you and prevails from day to day, and your conscience accuses you that you have transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them. And when the devil comes and he says, but you have sinned too much now, and now there can be no more forgiveness for you. And you know that you have sinned against better knowledge, and you cannot find peace for your soul. What then? There is a river. When grief comes into your family and you just don't understand it, or when loved ones are taken away, or you suffer pain or sorrow, or when your children grow up and once you held them here for baptism, but now your children say, Dad, I don't want to go with you to that church. And they don't serve the Lord according to His word. I'll go my own way. What then? There is a river. Or problems in the church. Where will we be, the Lord willing, 10 years from today? As a church. Where will we as a nation be 10 years from today? Where will the world be 10 years from today if Christ has not yet returned? There is a river. When unexplained afflictions come into your life and don't leave you alone, and they leave scars and wounds and deep questions which it seems nobody can answer, when there are times when you are disappointed in yourself and you feel so downcast and you wonder, why have I failed so miserably in this area and in that area? And in that area, and in so many areas. And when you long for paradise, and the river of God's pleasure, but you feel you can't get there. What then? Then tonight you are reminded of the text. There is a river. The streams were off. Shall make glad the city of God. You see, there is this gladness, or the river makes glad, because there is, in the middle of this city, life, even in trouble and tumult. This river is not only for when the days are calm. Look at Psalm 46. There is war. There is tumult. There is sadness. But exactly there, right there comes what? Gladness. How then? Through this river. The streams whereof, the channels whereof, through the Spirit of God, bring riches of grace from the wounds of Christ on Calvary. And they are channeled right to your troubled heart. That makes glad the city of God. Congregation, this is the gospel for the sake of Jesus Christ, who on Calvary said, I thirst. Who on Calvary cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it's because of him that there can be now a river flowing from Calvary right to you, my dear brother and sister. Christ was in the desert that you might have the river. The streams whereof may glad the city of God. An island of gladness in a world of sadness. Young people, do you hear these words? Children, do you hear these words? There is gladness. Here is true gladness. And I want to say it especially to you in your young years. You know, many young people, they think their young years is to have a lot of fun and do what they were not brought up to do. But you need to realize that if you do the things that you were not brought up to do, that there is a day coming to you that you will have to give account of all the things you got yourself involved in. And you must realize that there is only true gladness here in this river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And congregation, what I say to the young people, I say to you all, there is a river. Be still and know that I am God. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Allow me to end with these two stanzas. See, the streams of living waters, springing from eternal love, well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Who can feign when such a river ever flows their thirst to assuage? Grace, which like the Lord the giver, never fails from age to age. Savior, if of Zion city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. Amen. Let us pray. And our Lord has spoken this night in a way that we could see it, the sprinkling of the water of baptism on Samuel's forehead. And then the word, Psalm 46, within almost the middle of it, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. O Lord, be thou our refuge, our fortress, as a very present help in trouble, so that we will not fear, for thou art with us. O, grant that river to flow through this church and through our homes and in our lives, for quenching our thirst . For cleansing our lives, for giving us food and drink, and for transporting thyself to thee, O Lord, and even for the streams to come so close. Bless the ordinances of thyself, baptism, the reading of thy word, the study of thy word, the preaching of thy word, the supper of our Lord. And bless the young people as tonight they meet. Grant them to know of this river and of the streams coming so close. And give them, O God, what thou hast given to David, what thou hast given to Hezekiah, what thou hast given to John and James and Peter and Andrew and Thomas, yea, all of them, give it to us. As thou hast worked in former generations, O, work in this generation the very same grace, with the same river flowing from the throne of God by Calvary to the heart. O, remember thus thy people in all the earth, and supply thou this river to them all. Bless our brothers and sisters in Guatemala, ready to return at the close of the week. Grant traveling mercies. Bless their labors. And as they take leave of those whom they have come to love, bless those who stay behind, and bless thy church there with this river. Bless the teaching this week in our homes, in the seminary. Grant the professors the very channels of this river for their own souls, and the grace and ability to spread it out to the students, and bless us there wherever thou dost send us this week. To the hospital for a little child to be born, to us in old age, in sickness. Perhaps someone must leave this life in our midst this week. Oh, let the river supply also the grace to fall asleep in thee, O Savior. And if we must still be converted, O God, this is the first day. O, let the day not pass until we face up to this gospel of this morning, thy justice in Christ and the river. And to thee shall be all the praise. Remember our nation, our president, his cabinet, and all the advisors. Who is able, O God, to incline their thoughts and minds away from delusion, of which we read in thy word that that day comes that thou wilt send them delusion so that they will believe a lie. Give them the truth. Thy word is truth, thy law, thy gospel, thy name, Lord Jesus. Grant that they may know thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen.